everybody. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. This is the podcast for you if you want to improve your business, your brain, and your body. Every weekend, I do a Mentor Moments episode. So what's that? That means I bring you 10 minutes of the most impactful insights from a previous guest. This week, we're chatting to Gary McLaughlin, the marketing director and co-founder of Glendalough Distillery. They started Glendalough way back in 2011, scaling successfully all over the globe before selling it to Marc Anthony Brands. I talked to Gary about how do you scale a brand? How do you launch successfully in places like America, across Europe and the Far East? And how do you make that happen from right here in Ireland? It's a really great marketing insight. A lot of us are great with ideas, but not a lot of us are super at scaling, actually getting the product into customers' hands. So if you struggle with that, this is the episode for you. Before we kick into the episode, a quick thank you to my partners.
Thanks to my partner, Square. Everything your business needs, like payments, menu management, online ordering, chatting endlessly about the weather. Well, you're on your own there. Square. Everything your business needs. Almost. Visit square.com.
If you're a regular listener of the pod, which I hope you are, you'll know I've been hosting the podcast from my Connacht offices for quite a while now, and things have gone really, really well. So well, in fact, that I'm now a member of Connacht offices, working and recording from one of their spaces. This means I can vouch for the benefits it gives to any business. On that note, Connacht offices have given me a number of exclusive complimentary day office trials for my audience. So try it out for yourself for the day. Bring your team. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description and enter Gary23, so it's Gary23, to claim your complimentary office for a whole day. It's a pretty fantastic offer. Thank you, Connacht offices. Now, on with today's episode.
What was your go-to-market strategy then? As in, you developed a great brand, great product. How are you going to sell that?
So the guy I've told you about who came back from America, Donald O'Gallagher, he was our sales guy. And we made a decision early on, right? There are going to be more distilleries coming quite quickly. We need to go global. Not forget about Ireland, of course not. It's our home market. But so launch here, but very quickly go to Boston. We went to Boston and Washington, D.C. We just felt Boston was probably the place where, okay, there's Irish there. Excuse me, a lot of Irish there. But probably a place of least resistance, put it that way. So Donal went over, based himself in Boston. And I can't say any more than just shoe leather, tenacity, drive, coupled with what I would say, and again, it sounds like I'm blowing my own trumpet here, but myself and Kev Keenan having worked on Jemison, having worked with Paddy Power and PlayStation and all sorts of big global brands, we knew what the best brands were doing. We designed and developed toolkits and strategy for basically making what we had work as hard as we possibly could. Mm-hmm. So that's one person, pretty much. Now, it became two quite quickly. We hired.
Were you selling to bars, to big retail stores? Where were you selling?
So we would pick an area. People who are listening to this probably have heard of Lighthouse Strategies before, but like we pick an area in Boston where our target market, where they'd hang out. Okay,
so Lighthouse Strategies.
Lighthouse Strategy. So there's your lighthouse, and your lighthouse is turned on, right? So when your lighthouse is on, you can't put bit like St. Kevin on the label, but you can't put notice. The light is flicking around. You see every time, you know, go for a walk down Dunleary Pier and look out and you see, oh, there's the lighthouse. So that's what we mean. What do I mean by that? Is so you pick an area and then you pick, okay, what can we afford to do? We've X thousand. And that's probably a small, you know, 2,000, whatever it was small, right? What are we going to do? Okay, let's pick those three pubs and those four or five off licenses around those pubs and just invest in that. So just go hell for leather, investing in those bars, over-servicing them, very much becoming the barman's friend, the liquor manager, the off-license owner's friend, the people that work there, giving them, you know, swag. So look, here's one of our company I'm working for, White Claw. You know, giving them cool stuff, immersing them in our brand, doing pop-up nights, so where we have, you know, cocktails and all the rest, where our brand ambassador will be there, Don will be there, giving them the spiel, talking to them all about it. And basically the idea is, if they're beacons for your brand in those, in that cool area where your target audience are hanging out, well, then it's going to wear off on the other bar. You know, it's going to influence the other bars, because those people are going to go to another bar and go, do you have Glenlock? Oh, you know, McLaughlin's bar over there has Glenlock. So, and then bartenders move, off-license people move, and they're like, oh, no, it's a cool brand. Did you not meet Donald? Oh, look, they go out foraging. So it's basically you're influencing the key people in those key areas, and that just spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads. And that's how we built our brand in America, and prove that, look, we can do this in Boston. And if we can do this in Boston, Mr. Distributor in Florida, we can do it in Florida too. And here's our playbook. This is what we're going to do for your brand. And it's not just shoe leather. It's not just one person. It's also then really good social media assets that, you know, plant a pin. There you go. So to McLaughlin's bar in Boston. Okay, we're going to target people with a 5-kilometer radius of that. People who like craft beer, whiskey, gin, into these bands, whatever it is, you know, those type of our target market, and make sure that they see this. It was small, smart spending on, but really focused and it worked. It's a really good, it's a hard working strategy, but it's worked, and it's worked for us multiple times now in many markets within the States, but many states within the States. And then we replicated that in other markets as well. So we replicated that in Canada and in Ireland and in Germany and France and Italy and Australia and New Zealand, some Asian markets. Now you can't do everything, right? So again, that's another real learning. We went quite big quite quickly in terms of, as I was saying, we were literally getting phone calls about, oh, we want an Irish whiskey. So we quite quickly were global. Like, we're in over 40 markets now, but like, we were in over 30 quite quickly, you know, within two years, we're in about 30 markets. And look, it wasn't easy. I'm making it sound like people were ringing us and it was easy to sell. It wasn't. I spent hours and days on planes and sleeping in not very nice hotels. And I remember actually going to a place in the drinks business, where you pick up business, and where all the distributors from all over the world come to is Provine. So it's in Dusseldorf. And, you find Provine and the Messe there. So the Messe is like the hall. There's like, it's about the size of, I'm not messing, about 16 Aviva stadiums big.
Wow.
And each Aviva stadiums is roofed over it. Each has a, so there's maybe two France. There's France. There's Aviva Stadium 1 and 2, and that's all French wine. And there's Italy. And it's humongous. I'm going to get this wrong, but 30,000-40,000 sort of type of people are at these for a couple of days. But there's a small enough spirit section, and Bordia really promote and help Irish brands get in there and sort of assert themselves and show off their wares. But for the first couple of years, we just didn't have the money to do it, because it's still expensive. So like, for 2 years, I flew over on a red eye. I based myself in a coffee shop right beside the Irish Spirits area, and I just made so many phone calls and emails and all the rest that I met 10, 12 people each day. And got business out of it. So those two trips, probably we signed up, I don't know, maybe 8-10 markets that we're still in now, you know. You just have to think differently, and you just have to cut your cloth, you know. If you have the passion and drive and ambition, you find out ways of making it happen, you know. But you are up against the big boys, and you're up against the big competitors who have tons of money to spend on things like this and activate these conferences and exhibitions where we just have to think a bit smarter about it. You know?
I love that though, Gary. There's two strategies there that any startup listening can use, because people think, oh, I don't have the money to go global. Oh, I don't have the resources. Often, you guys broke America literally one street and one bar at a time. And that seems so small deal. Oh, I'll never get the impact, but small increments over time, compounds. That's an incredible story. That's brilliant. And thank you so much for sharing that.
Not at all, but you can go with your case study of that Cambridge in Massachusetts, which is a small area in Boston. But you can go, look, this is what we did in Cambridge. You know, we can do this in the whole state of Chicago or Illinois, you know, or whatever. And that's what we did. And again, I'll give you one more quickly. Like another big, it's Germany as well, but BCB, Barkhoven in Berlin, is a place where all the on-trade gravitate toward, well, pre-COVID, gravitate towards in Berlin. It's a brilliant 3 days. Again, really expensive to activate. You'd spend tens, hundreds of thousands, some brands would spend on it. We said, right, it's hectic, it's mental. All our distributors are going to be there to make sure that we keep in with our distributors and to develop and nurture the relationships. Okay, we could spend 20 grand on the stand and probably get a couple of seconds talking to them because it's really noisy. But you know what we could do? I mean, I was just thinking differently. We got a suite in a hotel right beside it. So it's fancy enough suite. We slept there. Myself and Barry slept in the suite overnight, which was nice place to sleep. But we met them. We just set up an area where we were launching our new bottles, and they came and they just took a load off and met us, had a coffee, had a drink, and they all, every single one, they were like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I wish everybody did this. Cause so again, it's just thinking a little bit differently and going, okay, I want to do this. How am I going to get there? I can't afford it, but there's always ways.
And conferences are boring and horrible. You're just trolling around, going around. You're trying to get them to your stand. Yeah. They're trying to like, oh, I have a meeting in 5 minutes. That's a great idea. You're there, but you're there in a different form, and you're there in a way that captures people's imaginations and attention.
Hope you enjoyed that episode with Gary. Wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify or Apple, hit that like button and please do subscribe. It helps the pod grow. I'll be back here on Tuesday with a brand new Idea Lab episode. Until then, have a great week.